excited to get to do this tonight. It's been like a year since I got to teach here. And that night, my head, I don't know if any of you were here or remember, but my head was all goofy and I was really dizzy and I had to stand and like hold on to this thing the whole time. And so it is not like that tonight. I feel great. I can tell that I was singing because my voice sounds kind of funny, but that's okay. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you to do some stuff with me. And I'm going to ask you to stop and think a lot. Stop and think. Those are the words that I want you to leave with tonight, stuck in your head. Stop and think. Because far too often, we are just walking through this life without stopping or thinking. How many times when you're a kid did your parents say, just stop and think. Stop and think about what you're doing. And I really believe that God is telling us the same thing. Stop and think about what he has given to us. So that's what I'm going to share with you tonight, that some areas where I think we need to stop and think, where we need to be very intentional in our thinking. Petraea shared a word like a year or so ago about being intentional. Do you remember that? Yeah, that has stuck with me, and I think about that all the time, how we have to be intentional. Because if we don't do things intentionally, then they don't get done. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, I have to, when I come in on Sunday mornings, I have to know in my head, intentionally, okay, I want to make an effort to speak to this person and this person because I don't really know them. And if I don't make that effort, you know what I do? I stand and I talk to the same people that I always talk to. So we have to be intentional in what we're doing. So let's pray. God, I thank you so much for who you are, the greatness of who you are, and that you love us, that you have made a way for us to be in relationship with you, Father. God, that you have given us your Holy Spirit, and you have given us the ability to stop and think about who you are, what you have done for us, what you want us to do. And God, I pray that tonight you help me to speak the words that you want spoken, and to not say the things that you don't want me to say. God, I pray for open hearts and ears. Help me to just stay calm and do what you've given me to do. Thank you so much for all you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so how about we start with a little science lesson? Y'all like science? Not a big science crowd. Oh, well, they are. Look at them, Michelle. I mean, you know, I was thinking about you when I was doing this. Like, I got to make sure that this stuff is right because Michelle's probably going to be there. Okay, so right now we are in Green Bay, right? In the state of? In the country of? Wow, you guys are knocking it out of the park here. Located on the continent of, found on the planet Earth. Very good. All right, so that is what the Earth looks like from space. That picture was taken by Apollo 17. Now, our planet is revolving around a sun in the Milky Way galaxy, right? The Milky Way galaxy contains between 100 and 400 billion stars and has a diameter of somewhere around 150,000 to 200,000 light years. How many of you think we need all that? Did we need all that? We didn't really need all that. I mean, we can't see all of those stars, right? We can't see all of that, but God created all of that for us. And then the Milky Way and the Andromeda Galaxy. So there's more than one galaxy. It's not just us. There's the Andromeda Galaxy. And those two galaxies, along with others, are part of the Virgo Supercluster, which is a mass concentration of galaxies. Look at that. Isn't that cool? I'm trying to get you to see just how big this place is. Okay? That's what I'm wanting you to catch on to. There are at least 100 galaxy groups and clusters that are located within its diameter, which is 110 million light years. The Virgo cluster is one of about 10 million superclusters in the observable universe. Look at that. That's the observable universe. We're that little Milky Way thing, they kind of put that in the middle. Those are all other galaxies around us. God didn't just kind of throw something together here. God created all of that. All of that. As I'm going through this and I'm looking and I just keep, you know, expanding and expanding and expanding what I'm looking at, I'm starting to think, why would I ever think I know better than God about anything? He can do that. I have a hard time getting my day planned. You know? So, I want you to think about that. We know that God created the heavens and the earth and that all they contain and all that they contain, and that nothing consists that wasn't created by God. So stop and think about the expanse of that universe. It's mind-blowing to me. When you start talking light years, I kind of lose you. You know, it's just amazing. So God didn't create just what was necessary and needed for us. God created so much more. He is a God of abundance, of over the top, over the top. And I want you to think about that. And then I want you to think the same God that created all of that knows everything that there is to know about you. Number of hairs on your head. Before you were created, He has a book that has all of the things that He has planned for you. For each one of us, the God who created all of that cares that much about me and about you. And how many times during the day do we think about that? Why would we ever think, I don't know if God cares about me or not? Really? Stop and think. Before you allow your mind to go to those kind of places, stop and think about who God is, what He has done. Now, I want you to do something else with me. Now, we're moving from science to imagination. We get both sides of the brains going. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine that somewhere in that universe, there's a planet with a beautiful garden, and God has created a man and a woman and put them in the garden. And it's beautiful. And in this garden, when the sneaky snake comes and he's talking to the woman, she doesn't listen to him. And when he comes again, she says, no, I'm not going to do that. I know who I am. And they kick the snake out. They just get rid of the snake, okay? Now imagine what the relationship between God and those people would be like. Imagine Him coming in the cool of the afternoon and walking in the garden with them. Imagine the trust and the love that there is in that relationship because they've never known anything else. Everything, you can open your eyes now. They've never known anything else. Everything that they have learned from the Father. They know what His heart is because He shares His heart with them. And that's how they live. That's what their life is. Stop and think about that for a minute. And then I want you to think about what your relationship with the Father is like. Okay? We're back to earth. What is your relationship with the Father like? Is it like what we just imagined, or is it different? Because we all know that Adam and Eve in the garden sinned, right? The snake came. For whatever reason, Eve listened to the snake, and she disobeyed what God had told her. And then Adam disobeyed too. Sin came into the world. They were kicked out of the garden, separated from God. Right? We could say that that's a reason why our relationship isn't the same as what we were imagining. We could say that. But if you said that to me, I would say, no, doesn't have to be that way. Because if we accept Jesus, Jesus came and on the cross, he restored what was lost to us in the garden. He restored that relationship. He made the way for us to have relationship with the Father again. Before Jesus, there was no relationship. We couldn't have that relationship with the Father. Before you knew Jesus in your life, when you were still in sin and without Jesus, without hope, you didn't have that relationship with the Father. But through Jesus, he said, "It is finished," on the cross, and he restored that to us. So think about things that he restored to us. Well, first, let's go to Romans chapter 5. We're going to go to Romans 5:12. And there's this whole long section. I'm just going to read verses 12 and then 17, 18, and 19. And it says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world," that would have been Adam, "and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." And then in verse 17, it says, "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." So, think about this, okay? Our relationship with the Father has been restored, right? I have to tell you that I thought this would be a great place for a Hammond organ to be behind us, you know, and like you say that, and then the organ goes. And then, so our relationship with the Father has been restored. And it said that we reign in life. We reign in life. Satan has been put under our feet. We aren't under his control. We don't need to listen to him. We reign. We have dominion over him. We no longer live under the law of sin and death. I mean, come on, people. Hallelujah. We are no longer under the law of sin and death. Shame is no longer a part of who we are. How many of you have lived under that? Of just shame of your past, of all of the feelings of insecurity or things that you can't do or things that you think you can't do. We don't live under that. That's not who we are. Okay, I'm way more excited than all of you, and I like want to make you get up and run around or something, because this is awesome, and this is part of what I want us to stop and think about. Stop and think about what God has done for us. You know, we read it in the Bible. We've read that. How many of you have read that in Romans before? Yeah, you read it. You've heard it preached, you've heard it taught, and you agree with it. But how often do we stop and actually take the time to think about how amazing that is? I mean, there aren't even words to describe how incredible that is, that Jesus came and gave us a way to get to the Father again. We have access to him, and because Jesus and the Father are, you know, it says, if you know me, you know the Father. When we sit at the feet of Jesus and we learn from him, we learn the Father's heart. There's so much good there. You know, we may live in a fallen world, and there may be sin all around us. And there is. And we have to be intentional to stop and think about all that God has restored to us. Because if we don't intentionally do it, we don't do it. And I can tell you that doing it on Wednesday night and Sunday morning is not enough. It's not enough. We have to be intentional all the time about this. This is how we live. It's not doing church. It's how we live. So let's look at a few areas that I feel like God was telling me that we need to stop and think. All right, now we're going to go to the book of John, and we're going to hang out in chapter 10. I love this chapter. All right, we're going to start in verse 10. We're actually going to start in the second half of verse 10. We'll go back to the first half of verse 10. So the second half of verse 10 in John chapter 10 says, I, meaning Jesus, words are in red, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Okay, so stop and think. We are meant to have lives that are super abundant. That does not mean super abundant in things. Because life, that part of life is a blessed life. We're to live a blessed life. I believe God wants us to have what we need and enough for every good work. But our life is not all about collecting things. When I was going to college, I was in a philosophy class. And in the first class, you know, the guy pulls out this hat that says, the one who dies with the most toys wins. What does that mean? And he asked me. And I was, believe it or not, very shy and quiet. And I was like, I don't know. And then he, like, poked at me to get me to answer it. And I didn't like it, and I dropped the class. So that's how I worked when I was in college. That's the truth. Yeah, one class, I dropped it. But it's not about the person who dies with the most toys. You don't get to take it with you. It's not, you're not going to be able to take it. So for me, I don't really care how many toys I have. If I don't get to take them, what's the good of them? But what that means is we get to live a super abundant life. We get to live a life full of purpose, full of meaning, fulfillment, peace, freedom. Think of the freedom that God has given us. We have freedom from shame, like I was talking about, because remember, there's no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. We're free from shame. We are free from fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And whenever you are afraid or anxious, go back to that. Think about God. Think about how big he is. Think about the freedom that Jesus purchased for you. Think about how big that universe is. I'm pretty sure God can handle whatever little problem we have. It may seem like a huge problem to us, but to God, it's not. He can totally handle that. We just have to trust him. And trusting can be sometimes difficult. But you can always know that God has your best at heart. It may not be what you think is best, but it is what is best. God will always give you what is best if you trust him. And then think about this. You know, God has also given us the freedom to be who he created us to be. He created you to be something special, and you have the freedom to be that. You don't have to conform to society. You don't have to be what other people tell you they think that you should be. You get to be what God says you are. And as you grow and learn more and hear more from him, he's going to continually be expanding your understanding of who he created you to be. You know, some of my favorite verses in the Bible are in Psalm 139, where it says, "In your book, they were all written," this is verse 16, "the days fashioned for me, for when as yet there were none of them." I didn't read that very well. But basically, he has a book. The days that he has created for you are in it before you were even born. How cool is that? And before that, in verse 14, it says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows full well." I love that verse. I go back to that verse so many times. When I start feeling like, oh, you know, so-and-so maybe doesn't like me. They didn't talk to me, whatever. Like, you know, well, I didn't do anything, then that's not my problem. then that's their issue, if there even is an issue, because it could totally be something I created in my head. Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I don't need to conform to what anybody else says that they think I should be. I am what God made me to be. And I will walk with my head high in full humbleness, knowing that that's what God created me to be. Remember, being humble doesn't mean you're crawling around on your belly all the time. It means that you are what he created you to be, that you know what that is. You know where you are, you know what that is, but you don't think higher of yourself than you should, and you don't think lower of yourself than you should. You think what God thinks about you. So stop and think about that. Then, the first part of that verse. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who is the thief? The devil. Stupid devil. Yep. And in John 8, verse 44, it tells us that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth. There is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of lies. The devil is never going to come to you and tell you the truth. Now, when he tempted Jesus, he used scripture, but he didn't use it in a true way. He twisted it. There will always be a twist to it when he's using that. And we've got to learn to know the voice of God. The devil is a liar. And have you ever thought to yourself, what was Eve thinking when she decided to listen to the snake? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, I have. And I've thought, darn Eve, why did she do that? You know, why? And then as I'm working on this, it's like, yeah, but we do it all the time. We do it all the time. We listen to what the devil's telling us. And sometimes we act on it. We let him drag our emotions here, there, everywhere, up and down and all around. Why? Why? If we can look at Eve's situation and say, what was she thinking? Then we need to be honest with ourselves and say, what was I thinking? Obviously, I didn't stop and think about what the word says. Or I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have acted that way. I wouldn't have said that thing. So stop and think about that. And I thought about having an apple and having somebody come up and take a bite. Like, oh, you think this? Take a bite. You know, because, and think about that. The next time you do that, you're like, oh, that was a lie and I shouldn't have listened to it. Think about yourself taking a bite of an apple. Like, oh, I would do it, but I can't eat apples. So, now I want you to stop and think about not allowing the devil to rob you with his lies. No, maybe that's what I just told you. Sorry. What I want you to stop and think about now is listening to God's voice. How we need to listen to his voice. It talks about Jesus being the good shepherd in the same chapter in verses 3 and 4. It says, to him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Do we know the Father's voice? How do you know someone's voice? There are people in this building that if I close my eyes and you start talking, I will immediately know who you are. How does that happen? That happens because I have spent time with you. I know you. I have listened to you. Pastor Ben's voice I would know very well because I listen to him a lot. So his voice is very distinct. Plus, it's all excited. So, you know, we have to know voices. We need to know God's voice so that we can hear him. And a lot of the time, I think we get what we think is God. It's like, well, I think I might have heard God, but I'm not really sure. And this was very convicting to me because I know I have those moments. I kind of think I heard God say this, but I'm not really sure. That, to me, This is what God was sharing with me. Stop and think about that. If you're not sure that that was my voice, you haven't spent enough time with me. You haven't spent enough time with me to know what my voice is. And I also think, this is something that has been really in my heart for a while, in my head, thinking about it. You know, we tend to a lot of times generalize things like, well, I feel like God is maybe telling me this, and it's very vague and it's very general and it's not specific, right? I don't know about you. I'll just say for me, yes. But in the Bible, was God vague and general when he was speaking to people? No. He didn't tell Samuel, I want you to anoint a king. Find one somewhere in Israel, you know. So, no, he told him, you go to Jesse's house, it's going to be one of his boys. And as the boys came through, he's like, no, 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 no. He told him which one specifically it was. He woke Joseph up in the middle of the night and told him, get Mary and Jesus to Egypt. He talks to Ananias when Ananias is praying and says, go to Straight Street. I mean, he sent him to the street, to the house where Saul was praying. Very specific, not just Old Testament, New Testament too. And if we learn to listen, he will be specific with us. It doesn't have to be this vague, well, I kind of feel like maybe God is telling me that we should sell our house. Maybe, I don't know. No, he will be very specific if you seek him. We just have to seek him, and then we have to listen. You know, you're not going to know God's voice if whenever, every time that you go to God, you talk, you give him your list, and you leave. Because you didn't hear anything. You just dropped something off. You didn't hear. That's not the relationship that we need. So the two reasons that we need to listen to his voice is, one, so that we know his voice and we don't follow a stranger. Right? It talks about that, about how we know his voice and then we won't follow a stranger. You won't follow a strange voice. You'll know that it's God. And two, God speaks to his people and he can speak very specifically. Now, I would also say to stop and think about what you're listening to. What are you listening to? Because there are things that you can listen to that are going to kind of plug your ears to the voice of God. Remember that song? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Yeah. So be careful what you hear. I would say, you know, God can speak to us. He speaks to me when I'm listening to preaching or teaching. He speaks to me a lot of times when I'm listening to Christian music. I'll be like, you know, just one little thing out of that song, and it can spark a whole big idea, and I'll think about it for weeks. So we need to be careful what we're listening to, because if you're listening to rock music all the time, some of those ideas are going to get stuck in your head, and then you're going to start thinking about those. And where does sin start? Sin starts with a thought. So we need to be careful about what we hear. We need to make sure that we are feeding ourselves and our ears spiritual food. All right, now I want us to stop and think about eternal life. In verse 28, says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Eternal life. Eternity is a really long time. A really long time. Like, we can't even understand how long eternity is. What we have here on this earth is, the Bible says, it's a vapor. It's like that. What we're doing here. Now, some days it doesn't feel like that. But that's what it is in view of eternity. So what are we going to do with this little short vapor of time that we have here? What did Jesus tell us to do? Jesus told us before he ascended into heaven, to go into the world and make disciples. Right? We are to be making disciples. That's what we should be doing. We should be sharing the love of Jesus with the people around us. Our life, let me think a minute because I thought of this earlier and I got to get it back. Our life here, and I know I've said this before, it's not about us. Our life here, this life, is not our reward. Our reward comes later. This life is for us to share Jesus with all of the people around us that don't know. We come to church and we love being together and we love worshiping together and we love learning the word and we love being fed and being filled up. And that's all wonderful. But if we don't take what we get filled up with and spread it out during the rest of the days when we aren't at church, then what good was it? What was the purpose of getting all filled up if you're not going to share it? And I'll tell you something else. If you keep getting filled up and you're not sharing it, at some point you're going to be like the Dead Sea and you're not going to get anything new anymore. Because you weren't faithful with what he gave you. It's kind of like what Bill was talking about last Wednesday when he was talking about being faithful with what you're given. You have to share that. That's what we're called to do. So stop and think about that. It's our mission to share the love of Jesus with those around us. And that should not be a bummer idea to us. That shouldn't make us sad. It shouldn't be like, oh yeah, but you know, in this life, I really wanted to do all these fun things. Well, you will never have a life as fulfilling as the one that you use serving God. I don't care what kind of fun things you get to do. There are people that have billions of dollars and are flying around in jets and doing all kinds of fun things, going all kinds of places, and they are miserable. That's not what this life is about. This life is about sharing Jesus. And in a way, I think that knowing that this life is not my reward is coming, but this is not my reward, takes some pressure off of this life. Because it doesn't have to be all that and a bag of chips. It can just be a regular life spent for Jesus. You know, when I die, I don't care what anybody says about me. I just want people to be able to say, she gave it all for Jesus. Because he gave it all for me. And it's not because I need to or I should. It's because I want to. Because I love him. And he did so much for me. I want to give that back. And the football thing is they left it all on the field. That's what I want. I want to leave it all on the field. When I'm done, I want everybody to know she burned for Jesus and then she was done. That's all that it would have to say. Be a very short funeral service. But, you know, so stop and think. What are the things that hinder us from living our life for Jesus? From being totally out there for him? What are some of those things? We've already talked about having freedom from some of those things. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's not trusting. Sometimes it's our culture. Sometimes it's money. And I have just been struggling with I do not want to be bound by culture. I do not want to be bound by this culture. This culture is horrible, in case you haven't noticed. I mean, I can't watch the news. I can't hardly read the news because I'll see a headline and I'm like, I didn't want to know that. Because it's so horrible. It's just so horrible and it breaks my heart. And I know that we need to know some of those things, but I do not want to fit into this culture. I don't. But we have to live in it. We need to be a light because you know what? This is our time. The young people are in there. We're all in our time. This is our time. We don't get another time. We don't get do-over. We don't even get do-over days. Once your day is done, it's done. You don't get to go back and do it again. So we need to be intentionally thinking about what God has for us. You know, we say to ourselves and to other people, God is always with us. God is always with you. And it's true. He is always with you. But how often are we paying attention to him when he's always with us? Is it just when we're in a bad time that it brings us comfort to know that God is always with us? You know, he's with us in the good times too. And he's speaking to us. I am convinced that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us a lot and we are missing it. We need to listen. We just need to intentionally stop and think. You know, and this is all, I don't want this to sound like, well, I don't want it to sound bad. It's all really good. I mean, it's all really good what God has done for us. It's just a matter of us stopping to think about what he's done. And it's not that hard. Is it that hard to stop and think? Just stop and think. Set your watch once an hour. Stop and think. What did God do to me? Do for me? What is he doing? What can I be doing? So let's not just walk through life kind of like sleepwalking through life where every day just happens, you know, the same thing. And I tell you what, if you don't stop and think, your flesh is going to want to go back. If you decide to make changes, it's going to want to go back to whatever it was doing that it liked. So I did this thing like back in December where it's like, okay, I'm not going to watch as much TV. In the evenings, I'm not going to watch. You know, I'll set aside like Friday evening, maybe Saturday evening, I'll watch some TV. I don't want to watch TV every evening. And it was beautiful. It was wonderful. I was reading more. We were talking more. Get to listen to Bill when he's practicing. It is wonderful. But then Sarah got lazy. And I noticed, oh man, we are eating in front of Jeopardy every night again for like the last month and a half. It's like, darn, I don't want to eat in front of Jeopardy. I want to eat with my husband, and then I want to have my night, and I want to have time with God, and I want to have time to read. Because I tell you what, reading is going to be one of those things that fills you if you're reading the right books. I have been just like devouring some Christian books that I am loving. And so no more dinner with Jeopardy. Besides that, somebody told me that that makes us old.
We don't care about that.
Would that be conforming to culture? Maybe, I don't know. Okay. So, we have to be intentional. We can't just, you know, slack off. Even though, you know, I know that the thing is, I was thinking about this morning. The deal is, okay, you do something for 21 days, you develop a habit, right? Well, I can tell you that we went longer than 21 days without watching TV, except on a couple of evenings a week, and that did not a habit make. You know, it was really easy to just slip right back into that. So we have to be diligent, and we have to be intentional in whatever it is that we're deciding to do. For us, that was the deal. Not as much TV. Not as much Facebook. Not as much, you know. Whatever it is, those things that hinder and distract us, we just need to let them go. Because I can tell you what, God does not care about Facebook I'm pretty sure Facebook is not in heaven. Oh, we're on Facebook. Woo! Like, oops. All right. So, the things that I want us to stop and think about. God has given us an abundant life, and we need to live it. You need to know, stop and think about who God says you are. Remember when Pastor Ben told us to make a list when he did his teaching on self-esteem? And he said to make a list of 10 things that make you unique. I would like to ask how many people did that, but I'm not going to. But I see two people that did. And that I think that's an awesome thing, because then when you start having those doubts, you go back to your list. And God is going to continually be showing you more and more, and that list is going to grow and grow and grow. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves, who does God say I am? Stop and think about that. Stop and think about expecting to hear from God. I think we need to expect to hear. If we aren't expecting, we aren't going to hear. Need to expect to hear from him. Be intentional in spending time to hear his voice, taking time to sit at his feet and listen. And again, that has to happen more than Wednesday night and Sunday morning. And then let's stop and think with eternity in mind, not just for ourselves, but, you know, think about it. My reward is there. My reward is after this life. That takes all of the fear. If you know Jesus, takes all of the fear out of dying to know that's just moving me on to my reward. It's all good. And also think about eternity for all of those around us who don't know Jesus. The world is filled with hurting and broken people who need somebody to come alongside of them and love them. That's really what we do. We just need to love people where they are, how they are. And we have to go to places that are not in our comfort zone. You know, and it can be scary sometimes. But God's with us. And if something happens, well, then you go to your reward. It's all good, right? I remember when we went to Milwaukee last year, and there's this beautiful little, I don't know, gazebo thing along the river in this park that Bill had taken a picture of. It's the most beautiful picture. I love this picture. And so I'm like, take me there. I want to see that park. He's like, I don't know. And he's like, it's not, you know. And I'm like, but the picture is beautiful. And so he took me there. And there was a homeless guy in the pavilion. And he was just, he's talking and sometimes loudly talking. And I struggled because I felt like I need to go. Be kind and loving to this man. And I grew up in the country where you don't, that's not there. You don't see that. You see cows and, you know, there's not homeless people in the country. It's not a good place for them. And so I see him. My heart wanted to, but my head would not let me. I could not get past the fear of going just to love that man. And I don't get to live that day again. So think intentionally about what God is leading you to do. Be brave enough to do it. Listen to his voice. And always remember, you don't get that day again. Not with those outside of Jesus. Not with those in your family. You don't get that day again. God has done amazing things. He is so awesome, like we saw at the beginning. So awesome in what he has created for us that we'll never even get to see. And who knows what is beyond the observable universe? We have no idea. And God just spoke it, and it was. We can totally trust him with our lives. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are, for the greatness of who you are, for your love for us. God, I pray that you help each one of us to stop and think during the week about the things that we've shared tonight. God, I pray that you help us to be intentional in what we do. God, help us to fully trust you, that there would be no fear in us, because that doesn't come from you. God, help us to share your love with those around us in whatever situation it is. And God, I pray that you just continue to knit us together as a family. God, I pray that you help us to encourage one another in all that you have asked us to do, all that you have given us to do. God, we thank you for your grace and for your goodness in our lives. And we just give you thanks. Praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Name, another same, your gospel.